messages from outer space? SETI has them, or do they not have them? That is the question. Okay. Okay, I'm not Shakespeare, guys, so let's get back to the subject at hand. Wes Bateman, when we went to the break, we were discussing ET contact. And Rod Davis, I think you have a question for Wes on this subject, don't you?
Why would the extraterrestrials, with the knowledge that they have and the abilities that they have, why would they not land on the White House lawn and make all of this knowledge public instead of using a clandestine method like this of using the 9 ET messages and God knows how many others they've tried to
send? Well, I think you said it right there, God knows. This is what we've understood. I've been at the Navy, the UFO thing for 40 years, and people say, well, where in the world have you been? You know, why aren't you out there, telling us what you know? Well, I'm very glad for 40 years that I have been more or less in seclusion on this thing. I know there are people with abilities to telepathically communicate with extraterrestrials, and I make that claim myself. But there are more phonies out there than there are legitimate people. I'm persona non grata when it comes to a lot of people. I really do believe I'm on some blacklist, you know. I did get an occasion, I think it was the Congress. I appeared as one of the, what do they call that? Anyway, it's a very large thing. The fellow that promoted it, that put it on yearly, was named Stonier. And his people, they said, if Bateman is going to be here, we won't show up. Why? It's because the data that we have studied tells us that ETs are not communicating with everybody. I put people in this category, you know, there's the real telepaths, but there's also what I call the woo-woo channelers, the false contactees, those that claim they're messiahs, or they are representatives of the extraterrestrial. Now, you know, how do you separate it where you say, I know I'm doing it. Well, they all claim that. And you can't possibly get any logic or figure out why these things are not going, why they're not landing on the White House lawn or whatever. You're never going to find that out as long as that, all that falsehood and baloney is going on out there. But what did we do? We pinned down the fact that there exists on the planet Earth a condition called the frequency barrier. In the very ancient past, the fifth planet of this system exploded and brought about a condition on the Earth that caused human life and animal life to devolve. Now this ties in with what Michael Cremo is saying in his writings, which are called Forbidden Archaeology and Human Evolution. In fact, I just received a email from Dr. Cremo. If he read what we got on the website there, he expressed the fact he is strongly interested in part four. Now, what is this, and the other thing we want to make clear is that we all live in what is called a universal life field. And it's all permeating what we would say omnipresent. Now, anything that's alive has a great deal to do with the universal life field. That includes the extraterrestrials. The problem is that anybody claims, you know, that somebody says, well, how do you get into the UFO business? I said, well, the first thing you do is you buy a cash register, and then you have a choice. There's a list of, you know, what the claims you are. Claim yourself to be a messiah, that's okay. It's that easy. And too many people pick up on it. Your easy way out is if somebody starts kicking you down on things, say, no, no, what the extraterrestrials are for the future. You know, and of course, you don't understand that. Well, people don't stop realize that the person, you know, that's telling them that wouldn't understand such a thing either. Not for the future, a parallel universe. Well, what I'm saying is, now we're dealing with real three-dimensional individuals. Our problems are physical problems. We had this frequency barrier condition on the Earth. We're only using 20% of our brain, power. Extraterrestrials are using a great deal more of it. When we are able to use our full potential, we obtain a state which is called cosmic consciousness, or the ability of infinite thought. It's the highest form of extrasensory perception. You see, to a man who is blind, those of us who can see have extrasensory perception. The EPs, you could take the universal life field, which we call the ULF, or ULF, and divide it into four major parts. The part that we're quite familiar with is the molar level, where we use our five senses: hearing, seeing, smelling, tasting, feeling, by touching. Now, the brain is a molar level item, but the mind is not. It belongs to the next level up, called the micro level. Now, we use our this condition called the frequency barrier keeps us from using higher mental frequencies, because we can't use a great, see, we only use 20% of our brain. Now, the question is, evolution doesn't make sense there. We got this great brain, but we can't use it. But that's a good sign that we are not evolving at all. We are re-evolving. And the EPs have been, well, there's two types, you know, the negative and the positive come in. I heard on the show that, I think it was Larry Nickin brought up the Chupacabra. And he was right on the money. He said, well, this could be an EP thing. And, well, in my book, he is absolutely correct. Type of EPs is they don't have good intentions. They're using this unique condition that exists on the Earth called the frequency barrier to produce Shamira, which are the combined human with animal parts. You know, this all the horror stories you hear about going on at the Delphi base. Well, they're not going on there now, but that the mixing and matching of animal and human tissue. And, you know, we don't have enough time to get into why they're doing that, so that's why we got the knowledge from the stars. Articles there on Rod's website, and you can get into it there. But there is definitely, we're dealing with real individuals, the flesh and blood. There are two, they're at odds with each other. They're not afraid of any government. They don't have to make deals with any government. They're just doing their thing. And here's one other problem. The government is aware of the frequency barrier. For all they know, this condition is going to continue on for 1,000 years into the future. They know the ETs are going to keep looking at it. But what kind of world would we have? What kind of order? What kind of economics and so forth could we keep together if everybody knew they were living under this condition and the government can't do anything about it? So that real reason for non-disclosure is they're going to go on as long as they can to protect the economic system and the religious structure we got here. Now, if they knew that the frequency barrier was going to disappear tomorrow, I'm sure the government come right out and tell everybody, hey, this is what's going on. But till then, it's a waste of time.
I've heard the ETs
times. Have been coming here thousands of years. They observe earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, because the earth is vibrating, producing that condition. But about 20,000 years ago, key strata layers in the planet slid back into their normal position, and the conditions are weakened. We are definitely going, we're definitely in the final stages of the frequency barrier. It's been estimated that the barrier will disappear sometime between the year 2012 and 2018. And at that point, open physical contact with the ETs there'd be no problem. You see, they can't come into this condition unprotected. Otherwise, they're thrown off biologically. What's Sasquatch? Sasquatch is an experiment. They put down pregnant females into this condition in order to determine how this unnatural vibration coming from our planet's core is going to affect the development of the Sasquatch fetus. Why don't you find them? That's because before the baby comes to full term, they pick up the child and the mother. But why don't you? Okay, look at all the new species or species they thought had been extinct. They're finding the Kolaka. Extinct for 70 million years. They're pulling those fish in off the coast of Madagascar. They're finding what they call the Laotian rock rat that disappeared from the only fossils that were found. And all of a sudden, there they are. You know, they're coming back.
Well, what kind of...
disappeared for 60 years. What they're doing is reintroducing these species.
So what happens in 2018 or 2019?
Well, you're going to find out that there is such a thing as the Federation. I tried to pass that same picture on to Roddenberry and Gene Coon back before Star Trek was put in motion. And, they were believing it. And they understood. What we're going for is what I say is going to be the great getting up morning. One day we're going to wake up and be able to use higher mental frequencies.
Is that are you saying one day we'll wake up and everybody will be very, very bright?
That's right. This is happening. We see this in the indigo children. this is something to do with there's all kinds of weather hybrids and things like that are not the kind of hybrids that the Grays would like to see occur, but the natural hybrid. You see, the monkeys, the gorillas, the orangutans, and so forth, they're really ETs. They were existing on the planet for whatever reason when the frequency barrier began. And these various species split on the re-evolutionary line. In other words, they came to a point biologically where they could not date with us or we couldn't date with them. In fact, the chimpanzee is believed to have left the line about 6.5 million years ago. Up until that time, they would have been considered the same species as we are. Now, Neanderthal and so forth, the answers to that is that, okay, so they're re-evolving. Now, what the other side, or the evil side, trying to do is find biological bridges in the frequency barrier that will explain why these extraterrestrial races did not continue to re-evolve. And they want to find biological bridges to produce Shavira. In other words, you know what that is. You know, you're going to end up with a guy with wings on his back or something. And you know, it's not as ridiculous as you know, it was known what this actually means and what such a reality would, how such a reality would affect us and affect the, you know, the extraterrestrials as well. It is really a diabolical thing. But it is, just to say it is not good enough. You've got to explain it, and we're trying to do that. And but that's why it's so confusing. Nobody really knows what the extraterrestrials have been doing. And then you've got these people that say, well, we're going to sit down with these guys, you know, a culture that was hundreds of millions of years old, and tell them how they got to deal with us. No way. That's a joke. Knowing what the ETs are all about, that's a joke. And they're not going to do that.
Are we talking about more than one group of ETs? I mean, some bad, some good? And that's a relative term, I guess.
Well, here's the way you look at it. You see, we there's such a thing as space money.
I didn't know that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there is. It's called life force. It can be measured, and you can put values of certain things on the life force. We spend our life force through emotion, anger, fear, worry, love. And anything somebody can do to get you to give your life force, the UFOs is a great a mystery for a reason. See, realities can be manifested into this level of perception. People say, well, I can't believe in something unless it's real. Well, you can make it real if you believe in it. If there's enough of this life force put into it, you can make it so. And they're the representation of every reality at different levels of the universal life field. And I use the idea of the wheel, you know, that this first started out as a cross-section of a log with a hole in the middle. And then such a thing could be used too long over abrasive and sanded rocks, and then they put metal tires, and they keep inundating. Now we're up to, you know, using bearings and so forth. Now those are realities, and those are improvements on a reality. If you understood one reality perfectly, you would join the consciousness of the Creator, because all is one. You understand one thing perfectly, or understand the whole universe. But we live in a dual universe. We have black and white, we have heat, cold, male and female, plus and negative. You know, it was Einstein that said, you know, they asked him to prove the existence of God and evil, and he said, well, cold is the absence of heat, light is the absence of darkness, and God is the absence of evil. And that, in a sense, is that both things must exist, but you don't have to put your psychic energy to the negative end. You can if you want to. You can. There are those extraterrestrials that do. They are psychically vampiring energy from us with the mystery. And in a sense, both sides are. The people that obtained the infinite thought had the ability of receiving what are called lights of divine direction. This is a long way about to answer Rob's question.
I was wondering when you were going to get there.
Yeah, to land on the White House lawn. Well, there are two things that keep them from doing it. One is the prime directive, and the other is what is called a light of divine direction. Let's say, okay, to explain that, it would be like saying, I intend to punch Rod in the nose, okay? And I would ask one of these re-perfected persons, if my action, would the universe approve of that? And I might get no light at all as a return. That would mean don't do it, because something somewhere in the universe that's trying to progress in the master plan of the Creator is going to be interfered with for making any progress. A gray light would mean that Rod's going to pick up a chair and whack me in the head. And what do we got there? My progress is not going to, it's going to be impeded. A white light saying, go ahead and do anything you want. It's not going to interfere. That comes down right now. Should I shoot Rod? And the universe says, I don't care. Go ahead and do it. You know, that would be an answer from the universe. That would tell us that, or whoever I am that, you know, to do that, was not functioning in the master plan of the Creator. These guys are at war with each other out there. They could even go right past each other's ways. But those that are trying to follow the master plan do not take action unless they have the light of divine direction. If they ask to land on the White House lawn, obviously they have been getting no light to do so. All right? So, why did they contact this person and not that person? Because of a light of divine direction. Now, all of these so-called abductions, think about it. I think I heard you say there, Jerry, 8 billion people abducted?
If you carry forth the figures, that's what it looks like to me.
Wouldn't that be amazing? You realize that requires 16 million sorties with spacecraft. The sky would be black with the craft coming and going and kidnapping and abducting. But is that dual? Yeah, it's happening, Jerry. Now, how could that be? How could all of these things be true? And somebody has been abducted, there's no doubt about it. But they have, they're technically advanced. We've got television, we can record information on little cylinders like Edison did, then it was wired, then, you know, then it was videotaped, now we got CDs and all of that. Well, where is that technology going? Another thing that I heard you and Larry talking about was holographs. Oh yeah, holographs. The holographic thing seems to be more of the guys on the right side of the wheel. They're using things like the holographs, things like that.
When you say the right side of the wheel, what do you mean?
These are the people that would work within the master plan of the Creator. That they are not really trying to rip us off for our psychic energy. They were dealing with, they're not in the business to do that. You would call that the Federation. And there are hundreds and millions of individuals that are aligned with that Federation. You know, somebody says, well, 80 or so people. Well, sure, they might have seen that particular type of species, but they're really billions.
And now, in my defense, when we talked about that's an opening for the show about the abductions, and that's from a survey of certain people, a certain percentage of people in the survey said that they were abducted. And if you carried that forward to the population, then it would be that many people. That's all. That's basically, I didn't really say that as fact. I mean, that's just what a survey is saying. So what are you saying these abductions are about?
Right. Well, here's what that is. You notice that everybody ends up back in their car or back in their bed. What they're doing is that they're ET technology has advanced to the point that they can record any experience, the feeling, the emotion and everything of a real experience, and then they can play that back. And why would they do that? They do that because it's small change for them to affect an individual. But if that individual, you know, wakes up and they're dead the next day and says, gee, I had that experience, but believe me, they really, really, really happened. And they're going to go out and tell 1,000 people that they're going to produce emotional reaction in the people that they tell. And that energy, emotional energy, goes to the people that caused that event to happen. And you know, a lot of people come back and they got marks on them. Well, there's a condition called somnambulism, which is the deepest form of hypnosis. If you or I or anybody was in that state of hypnosis, and the hypnotist told us that we burned our finger, you're going to raise a blister, just like you were burned, even though you weren't. So, we are, most of the abductions, the people are really experiencing them, but they're receiving a program that is transmitted through the universal life. And that's why there's so many of us. See, we're getting more and more sensitive to such kinds of psychic input. And, you know, you put a couple of bug-eyed guys in there, which are real. The grays are not subjected to the conditions of the frequency barrier. They were genetically engineered to function in this condition. But the real guys behind the scenes are very seldom seen. The Nordics, and they're tall. They're up to 7-8 feet tall. And all those civilizations are hundreds of millions of years old, and they are, the thing that they're living their life for and trying to counteract are the manifestations of reality, such as Shemira. And if you look at the ancient Egyptian gods, you know, they were all, you know, bird-headed. Well, that was to insert you know, the idea of Shemira into our culture. You know, mixing turkeys with cats is not their interest. What they are after is the absolute production of the human and animal Shemira.
Now, you've alluded several times to the Creator, and on your PDF file that's attached to the show, you close out with Luke 12:2, "For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hidden that shall not be known." Why do you think there's a Creator?
The Creator of all that is.
Yeah, why? Why would that have to be?
Okay. Let me try to put that in there. Well, the first thing is that, unless you say, well, ETs are lying. See, we've had 40 years of, I've had 40 years of experience in that way. We work with a principle called copy and cancel telepathy. And copy and cancel telepathy, you have to have a reference. That's why we can discard a lot of people that say, okay, they're saying they have contact, but they don't. We were just not going to take this thing happening. And when I say we, I talk about my wife and I, who, my wife being gone now for 15 years. If it wasn't for her, we did, you know, I couldn't have done what we did. But we learned that there was well, we made demands. We didn't just say, okay, it's happening. We wanted to know how it was happening and why it was happening. Why us? Okay? Now, we did make an attempt, in, you know, we run on television programs and predicted UFO sightings and earthquakes with Belli, as I say. Some of our, you know, part of what we knew of went into Star Trek with Gene Roddenberry and Coon. Of course, they took license and they changed things, but some of it did get out through that way. Now, this has been a 40-year daily type of thing. We have lived with the experience of life and divine direction. I think, should we do this? And see, this 31, you know, 31 years ago, they said, you study the pyramid. Okay, you do it. Okay. I said, well, all right, a few months, we'll know all there is to know about this. Well, that's not the way it is. But we needed those references in order to understand certain things. Now, we have seen the miracles of light in the right direction. These are personal experiences. You know, for other people to have them, you know, it's just not like a psychic experience. You know, is that, okay, they have explained to us as a means to meet our demands by telling us why it's being done this way and why it's, so it comes to the point that they say that the universal life field, you know, that there's such a thing as the creator of all that is, and that they explained it very, you know, clearly, at least to us. Okay, we've accepted that is the point. Whether or not somebody else accepts it, you know, that.
Well, I'm not saying I don't accept it. I'm just asking the question. I mean, it seems to me that all of these things, from religion to spiritualism to many things, they all seem to be centered on one thing, a creator.
Well, if you accept the creator, you have to accept the airtight part of that. You don't put energy into it. It's just like what I said, Einstein. Cold is the essence of heat.
Well, I do believe Einstein was probably correct, at least semantically. I'm not sure that communications can actually express these things. And I do think that's one thing about your work, when you're using mathematics, regardless of what symbol of mathematics you're using. Here again, mathematics, I'm not nearly the master of it that you are, but it seems to me that it's another way of using semantics, only you're using numbers.
Okay, now I'm glad you brought me around to that, because I think the best way to explain this is intelligent design. Look at this mathematical system, the Ross system, definitely supports intelligent design. The Ross system tells us that the electron weighs a certain amount, and that the proton weighs a certain amount. Now, if you look at those values in what we call the NGS system, there's no harmony. Mathematical harmony between those values that are assigned to those particular particles. But in the Ross system, they are. This shows the intelligent design, but the language, this mathematical language, is the language that describes all things. It describes now. There's no way. This is not arbitrary. This is something that is. You can't change it. You could put change the Ross system in any way.
So basically, our conversation tonight, I get that we've tied ancient Egyptian system of Ra, the pyramids, in other words, and extraterrestrials, and then the crop circles created by extraterrestrials, they all are intertwined somehow.
And as I say, I am building, you know, you get, you know, what I say the good guys are doing, I'm hesitant to put that in. I have taken, for instance, those nine messages, those nine articles that Rod and I have put on his site. You know, and I have said, gee, I can tell you what the bad guys are doing here. I've brought it to that point. But knowing that if I start laying out what the good guys are doing and why they're doing it, it's really going to raise a stink, you know, because if some of it is going to fly in the face of certain people's religious beliefs. I'm not saying spiritual, because I think that anybody that lives with this thing long enough absorbs the fact that it's true. A lot of times I could talk about things, and people say, you know, Wes, I know this. I don't know why I know it.
Mm-hmm.
But I do. And the reason they do is because it's in all of us. And all that this information that we're talking about is doing is bringing it to the forefront of their consciousness. You know, and they say, gee, that feels good to know this. It relieves. It answers questions they didn't even know they had. And so it's just such a pleasure to me to have you, you know, patiently listen to me, you know, telling you what I'm telling you, because it's a driving force to get me to get this information out there. But people don't know what the world we're talking about. And, you know, I don't want to just simply say, hey, West Dayton is saying so, and therefore it's so. No, no, I want to be challenged. This information proves itself, and it answers that the Creator exists.
I think you're saying that we may have it all wrong when we're talking about 2012 or 2018 being the end. It may be the beginning.
It'll be the beginning. See, the frequency barrier is a product of key stratolayers within the planet being cracked. And at its worst time, the humans evolved. And then we re-evolved. Then around 20,000 years ago, see, we've had a period where the barriers did not affect life on the Earth that badly. And we had golden ages. This is why we find gold chain and chalk millions of years old.
So we may be headed for a golden age pretty quickly.
Well, we are already in it, but we are in the end. The reason why is a key stratolayer slipped into its original natural position around 20,000 years ago. And see, most golden ages last for around 25,000, and in some cases of civilizations like the one that was in the Indus Valley, it was a golden age, but they started to use atomic weapons, and in so doing, fired up the frequency barrier condition, and de-evolution, we went backwards again. That's why you had UFOs around places we were testing our nuclear missiles in the 1940s. They know that we could make things worse with them, not by killing each other, but by causing disruptions within the internal structure of the planet, that the nuclear bombs, earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, they produce what are called push and shear waves. And you can... You can always tell where you're going to get UFO sightings.
Yeah, you and I discussed that previous taping that we're going to get into in great detail in September. And it's actually a formula there.
It's easy. We've had 23 prearranged UFO sightings with high-ranking military personnel standing right next to it. We are taking film. They are taking film. In fact, they came to us for protection because the desert bats, for instance, would attack them, and they realized that we had found a solution for keeping the bats away from us. You know, so 23, you know, they're humans like we are. Now, all of our information in the 60s was sent to the Comic Committee, and they told us that they lost all of our pictures and so forth. But where that's, present day, we are getting pictures like you can't believe.
Yeah, that's true. Rod, you've been silent there. We're about ready to wrap up the show. You got any comments or questions?
That's all right. No, the questions I had, I asked.
Did I answer it?
Yes, you finally got it.
See, the whole problem is you want the people to have the references. See, in the nine articles we got there, that's just a shell. You know, like tomorrow you would hear of, dog-like creature down in Texas, you know, that some fellow shot one. Then when a couple hours later he touches it, and it turns to powder, okay? Well, that's a ET experiment in the frequency barrier. You understand? You can put that thing right in its proper slot in that framework that we tried to set up on our site. There's sightings over Michigan. Well, we can tell you exactly why. There's some volcano over there in the Philippines that's going off. They're reading push and shear waves. It's easy to put these things into their right perspective.
Well,
everybody wants to hear it.
We're going to try our best to present it in an interesting way coming up next month, and the series will continue. That tonight it's about up. Rod, I always enjoy talking to Wes, but we got to teach him about sound bites.
Yeah, I know that. I greatly, you know, but that's why I told Rod to be quiet. I need every sound bite I can get.
I've enjoyed it, guys.
Well, Jerry, thank you so much. This is so important. And the main thing is that people are putting their psychic energy into things that are not true. And you know what? That energy is hanging up in the universal life field. It's either going to go to the good guys or the bad guys eventually. And, you know, that's the engine. That's the fuel that runs the EP engine. You've got to know that. And you've got to know where we're hurting ourselves and where we can do the things that's going to benefit us all.
So emotional vampires.
That's it. And that's exactly what's happening to us. As long as this mystery is in the state it is, we're losing. We're losing psychic energy, or what we call the charge force. And that's a complete subject in itself.
Well, maybe we'll do another show about that sooner or later. I'll be back out in your part of the woods. Well, there's no woods there, but I'll be out. I'll be back out there in your part of the desert later this year, and we'll be seeing you.
God bless, Jerry. Thank you.
Okay, thank you both.
Rod, thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. I enjoyed again.
Okay, and once again, they can go to your website and read all this information, plus we have lots of things as well. Thank you very much, guys.
My Search for the Afterlife is a book that explores real communications between a father and his deceased son. A rare number theory is developed during Dennis Spaulding's quest. My Search for the Afterlife is a book that shares a theory believed to help his son and other spirits validate the messages they sent across worlds. To learn more about this unique and moving book, visit their website at mysearchfortheafterlife.com. That's mysearchfortheafterlife.com.